really a pleasure to be here today to talk about some of the work that we're doing in Los Angeles County. I don't have any disclosures. So as most of us probably know, there are interconnections between many of the core domains of youth well-being. Healthier students are better learners, they have better academic outcomes and academic performance. Kids who are hungry, have uncontrolled asthma, are struggling with mental health problems, are not able to fulfill their potential in the classroom. We also know that by promoting academic factors, we're going to facilitate better health in the long term to create individuals who become healthy and thriving adults. So in multidisciplinary settings, I speak to a lot of schools and different individuals that work in the juvenile justice system and social services. I like to present a visual like this that we helped develop that kind of shows that we're all kind of on the same page and really trying to create common bigger picture goals. I think the fact that Healthy People 2020 has identified high school graduation as one of its leading health indicators really speaks to the importance of advancing the collaboration between health and education sectors. And in LA, we know that we have a long way to go in terms of this goal. Our graduation rates are lower than national averages and lower than state averages. So we've conducted a number of studies in LA that help underscore the need for these kind of collaborations, and I just want to touch on a couple of them quickly that really helped to provide some of the groundwork that helped us kind of advance some of these efforts. The first was a quantitative analysis that explored the connection between health and academic factors. This was a secondary data analysis from about 1,000 high-risk youth in the county, and we looked to identify the strongest predictors of school truancy. And what we found were the predictors of that were depression, substance use, and parental engagement, all areas where we feel like public health can really intervene to help support youth being. Second, we worked with a multidisciplinary panel of experts from the Los Angeles County School Attendance Task Force, which is a multidisciplinary group of stakeholders, to identify the highest priority policies and programs to reduce school truancy. And what came out after this long process of, maybe 9 months of collecting data and doing like a Delphi process where we fed data back to them, was the number two most important thing to reduce school truancy and improve school attendance was to explore models to integrate physical and mental health into schools. And this was a group that contained, representatives from the courts, probation, mental health, social services, et cetera. So it was really exciting to see that, and I think kind of underscores the need for this kind of work. The third thing that I'll mention, we did qualitative in-depth interviews with youth to kind of understand their trajectory in what kind of created their challenges in producing school truancy and chronic absenteeism. And these were all youth who had contact with the juvenile justice system, who had been identified as chronically truant. And really, we identified through this many missed opportunities to meet physical and emotional needs of youth and families. And so we took a lot of this information and look to the literature to help inform our approach. And our approach is grounded in two frameworks. The first is the comprehensive school wellness model with its 10 priority areas. And the second is the idea of the community schools model. And in this model, school is both a place and a set of partnerships that really integrates community resources. It has a focus on academics, health and social services, youth and community development, and community engagement. So these are the two frameworks in which our work is grounded. So concretely, we employ a number of strategies to help engage with school districts in our county. The first is related to training and technical assistance. We provide input and advice on how to build diverse and active wellness committees, both at the district and the school level. We also provide input into helping to develop wellness plans and district wellness policies and health-related policies. The second thing is that we do a lot of analysis and sharing of data. We help conduct targeted assessments to help inform planning and development of strategies. We also seek to examine the impact of strategy implementation. So I'm going to go in to give a couple of examples of the tools that we have used. We really try to take a data-driven approach, and I think kind of here are the four buckets of that approach. The first is wellness committee assessment, wellness plan assessment, targeted evaluation, and then kind of this monitoring of health and academic indicators. So I'll talk about each of those. The first thing that we've done is develop a wellness committee check-in tool. And the goal of this tool is to help understand current committee functioning and opportunities for improvement. So what we do is we give this tool to the wellness committees that we work with. They go back, they self-administer it. They can send, they, it's supposed to be completed by all members of their wellness committee. They can send it back to us. It has 13 multi-part questions related to the following things on the slide: committee functioning, involvement in school wellness policy, activities related to comprehensive wellness, barriers and challenges, and training and technical assistance needs. So here's just an example from one district, some of the results that we see. So, you know, this question here deals with how the wellness committee is functioning. Are you able to make decisions as a group? Do you have shared vision? Are your recommendations adopted, et cetera? Another question is the extent to which your district's taken significant strides in each of the comprehensive areas of school wellness, so it can kind of help them see, you know, where they're more active, where people on the committee kind of reflect on where they're more active, where they're less active. Here are some challenges, for example, potential barriers to the implementation of a comprehensive approach. Doesn't look super good, but you know, you can see that challenges like low buy-in from some of the leadership can prevent a challenge, as well as lack of time, lack of funding, you know, some of the things we hear about. So what we do is we take all this data that they give us, we kind of present it back to them in a very visually appealing way, and we provide some recommendations about how they could advance some of their wellness committee efforts. You know, you might want to look for these type of partners, or, oh, it really looks like this. Here's some resources that you could use to kind of help build communication or regular meetings or action planning or things like that. So we present this back to them as a summary, and then they can use that within their wellness committee to help inform kind of like a quality improvement, you know, kind of approach. Another thing that we do is we do wellness plan reviews, and what we do is we look at their wellness or written wellness plans and policies and identify strengths, with the strength and comprehensiveness of the current plan, and really identify opportunities for improvement. We did this, we developed this tool by combining the WellStat tool and a modified version of the School Health Index. So what we do is we look at the plans, we rate them on these dimensions, and then we calculate scores and again provide recommendations. So here's an example again from one district. So you can see the kind of core domains down the side. And we're rating both the comprehensiveness and the strengths, you know, based on the language that's used, based on what's actually covered, that sort of thing. And again, at the bottom, I'm not sure, yeah, okay, at the bottom I have, we provide, again, recommendations. Here are the strengths. Here's where you're doing really well. But if you're thinking about, you know, enhancing this, you might want to think about these kinds of considerations. And again, we can talk to your wellness committee about how you can incorporate these things, show you other language, show you examples from other districts, et cetera. So another thing that we do is we analyze school and district level data. And this is, again, to help inform kind of strategy development, identify needs. We use data from three sources primarily for this, the California Department of Education, which has suspension, expulsion, truancy data, also obesity data. We do have regular measures of obesity that's collected by our California Department of Education. But I think what's been even more helpful for us is the bottom two things. The California Healthy Kids Survey, which provides a student perspective on a range of different indicators that are of interest to both health and academic, health and education folks. So school climate, school connectedness, school safety, mental health and resilience, substance use and delinquent behavior. We also use the California School Climate Survey, and this is the staff perspective on some of these things like school climate, professional development, training needs, et cetera. These surveys are run by WestEd, which is an organization in California that partners with CDE to administer these to schools with little to very minimal cost. It is voluntary, so, you know, we don't have it for every school, but the schools we work with that don't regularly collect this, we encourage them to do so because it is such a minimal cost. So what we did is we purchased from Les said the past 15 years of data for all the schools in LA County, and so now what we have access to do is break things down even further by school, by demographic characteristics. We can look at trends, that sort of thing. So here's just an example of some of the products we develop. We try to be very, you know, visual in giving this information back, and we tailor it. Like, oh, we want to look at food and nutrition and obesity trends, and then we put together, you know, like a one-pager on that for the school or for the district, and again, just kind of give some key recommendations. What does this data tell us? What might you be able to do? Here are some other resources, et cetera. So this has been a really great way to kind of feed data back again. The last thing I'll mention is some of our targeted evaluation efforts, and this is an area where we've had a few successes that have been great, primarily in two areas. In food procurement policies, looking specifically at the impact of implementation of school nutrition standards on the quality of meals served and then student plate waste. So we've been able to do this in a few districts in our county, and so that's been very positive to kind of help build the evidence base, as well as kind of, again, you know, for example, looking at the amount of waste and thinking about different strategies to help reduce that, et cetera. We've also looked pretty extensively at school shared use agreements, which is where you open the school up after hours to adults, children, so they can come in and use it for physical activity. We looked at the cost associated with that, as well as some of the benefits both to the schools and community members. A targeted evaluation effort is definitely an area where we want to continue to build, especially in my perspective, like some of the interventions looking at their impact not only on health but also on academic indicators of interest, and that's an area where we're actively trying to pursue right now. So just to wrap up some of the challenges and opportunities, I don't think these will be new to any of us here working with schools, but you know, competing priorities and funding is obviously a challenge. So continuing to kind of make the case for the intersection between these things and really why it's important for us to kind of work together. I always try to make the message that we're going to help you with your indicators, attendance, achievement, that sort of thing, and try not to put health too much at the center of it. Taking a comprehensive approach, I've found in a lot of districts that we work with, they're really good at kind of either food or health services, but really kind of bringing that together and thinking a little bit more holistically about how these strategies can be integrated and mutually reinforcing is definitely a challenge, and I think is something we're continuing to work with. We also have a very large number of districts in LA County. We have 88 school districts, so it can be a little overwhelming sometimes just to try to work within that web. So in terms of our next steps, we're going to continue to work with the multidisciplinary group of partners and identify ways to best support districts to advance these kind of comprehensive efforts. And then, as I started mentioning before, really trying to demonstrate the impact of kind of these comprehensive interventions on a range of outcomes, especially those of interest to school administrators. We feel like that will really help continue to make the case for the need to kind of work a little bit more together. So that's all I have for now.
Are there any questions for Laura? Laura, I'm sorry. Yes.
So you mentioned from the qualitative interview with the youth, sort of the need for emotional behavioral sort of opportunities that were missed. I wonder, at the LA County Department of Health, how you're partnering with providers of mental health that might be in schools and how that system at that policy level might be related to some of the work outside of just
Yeah, no, I think that's really important, and I think it's definitely something that we're continuing to work with. We're working very closely with our Department of Mental Health that does do school-based mental health services and kind of school-linked mental health services. So we are working really closely with them, as well as some of the community partners that are providing these kind of more comprehensive assessments and services, and how can we facilitate linkages. We also have some substance abuse services that are located within our department that do school-based and school-linked, and they're in the process right now, kind of a comprehensive overhaul, because they're going to be getting additional funding. So, I mean, you're right. It's a challenge. I think we have a lot more need than can be really addressed, but I think there are examples of districts, especially the Alhambra Unified School District in LA, that have been able to leverage funding, really take a comprehensive approach, bring in partnerships with some of the universities. So we try to highlight those models and showcase them to other districts as well. But you're right, I think there is a definitely need to keep the eye on the policy lens as well. I agree.
Talk about who's actually doing this type of research.
Yes, myself and my team do it. We don't actually have dedicated funding to do it right now, so we're kind of doing it in addition to all of our other work, which is focused on other chronic disease prevention, so it's obviously kind of related. But I think we just feel like this is a really huge priority, and so we're trying to keep the work going while we identify potential other sources of funding, and so that's something we're looking at right now. So it's obviously not as in-depth as we would like, but I think if we can start to build the relationships now and really get some great partners, we can then leverage that to get some additional funding. No, it's not, but I'm happy to share it with you. Yes, I do. I think we do. We don't, unfortunately, there from my experience, there's not a lot of those in LA County. That infrastructure is not there, but it's something we encourage, and I definitely think it could be used with school-based committees, absolutely.
When you said you did the WellSat and the sheet together, did you do it together or did you do it?
We combined it into one tool that, we've combined them and kind of modified them a little bit to kind of look at the core domains that we think are kind of most important. So we did combine them and have like a tool that we use for that, yeah.
I'm wondering if you're planning to do primary prevention as part of your comprehensive plan.
Yeah, I think that is definitely something that we see the need for, especially in the mental health realm. That comes up as something that's hugely important, kind of stigma reduction, promotion of positive mental health, promotion of positive school climate. So when we talk to schools about their approach to mental health, that's definitely something we try to integrate into the conversation. As I mentioned before, that Alhambra District has parent education programs where they bring in and engage parents and try to work more on the prevention end as well. Yeah, definitely. I think that that's needed more and more, I think, and it's shown by some of the data that we have about reasons why people aren't seeking help and not willing to disclose because there's not those relationships and that positive school climate. I think that's very important. Yes.
Other questions? Okay, if we could give Lauren a round of applause.